I came here when I was 17 years old. The greatest college on the face of God's earth is right here, folks, and you are in it. Amen? This is a great place, a great soul-winning station right here. After souls, winning the lost, getting people saved. I had several students tell me, shut up. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all are insane. Totally 100% insane. Amen. I was a student. I came here at 17 years old to Hiles Anderson College. I didn't know anybody but me and Jesus, and I thought Jesus had forgotten about me some of the time at freshman year. I came to Hiles Anderson College. I walked on this campus, and I didn't realize how it was going to change my life, but it changed my life. It's the greatest place, and you are in an awesome college right here, Hiles Anderson College. You're going to meet some of the greatest Christians you've ever met anywhere in the world. You are taught by some of the greatest Christians. You are in an exciting place. It's a soul-winning station for people. But I was saying earlier, several students told me today about people they won to the Lord in the last week, and that's exciting. Brother Phil Pins told me about a fellow he won the Lord just yesterday, was it? The other day, sometime in the last century. He won. I don't... He's telling me about a soul that he won in his at a gas station. Now, don't you know it wasn't on Saturday? It was during the week. I told him, don't you know people can't get saved on another day other than Saturday? What's wrong with you, man? I learned to be a soul winner at Hiles Anderson College, our church over in Rochester, Indiana. We have people saved every week. We've been having people saved on Wednesday night. You're not supposed to have nothing happen on Wednesday. People get baptized, join. It's crazy. It's insane. But you know, I learned it here. By the way, Hiles Anderson, I learned it. And by the way, I found my wife here. Mm-hmm. Oh, buddy. He said, well, I'm at Hiles Anderson, but I'm not going to be a preacher. Now, that's all right. You can surrender and be a preacher, all right? That'd be fine. But even if God hasn't called you to preach, it's a wonderful place to find a wife. Hiles Anderson College, you come to college, you learn Bible truth from great Christians. You sit in the classes and get the doctrine down there. You go to chapel and act like insane people. And you have a wonderful time. You go and you meet friends of a lifetime here. Brother Douglas, how long have we known each other and been friends? 1981. That's been a long time. Brother Ray Young and I were in college together, like freshmen and all that. And Brother Eddie Lapina, all these guys, we were in school together and friends of a lifetime. But, I found my wife here. I like Eddie Lapina, okay, but my wife's way better, all right? Yeah, let's just face it. A friend of a lifetime, but boy, I tell you what, she's a beautiful red-headed lady. Now, Brother Douglas, I used to have red hair. I used to have a lot of it. But my wife, she does not dye her hair, and it is as red and beautiful, not one gray hair in her head. And that's a miracle, having to live with me all these years, that she doesn't have any gray hair. She worked in the dining hall on work scholarship, washing tables, serving food, cleaning the dishes. And I saw that cute little redhead. Woo! And I asked her out for a date. Now, let me tell you. You're not going to get a wife if you don't ask him out for the first time. I asked her out for a date, and we went to the Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor. I don't even know if they exist anymore. But what they were is the ice cream parlor, college activity. We went to this ice cream parlor, and they had this thing that if it was your birthday or something, then they would come out and they would clap and sing happy birthday and give you a special ice cream thing and all that. And our first date was at our Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor. I really didn't even know her, but I told the waitress, it's her birthday today. Let's see what this woman's made of, all right? They come out, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. And she's looking at me like. She wasn't too offended by it because she said yes the next date too. And the next date, and the next date. And now 36 years later, we're still going on dates. That's good preaching, brother. You say, where's that in the Bible? It's in there somewhere. The Bible says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Amen. Today is Valentine's Day. Brother Douglas said, I ask you to preach on Valentine's Day because you're such a sweet guy, and I guess I am. Sure. Talk about love, talk about marriage, talk about dating. It's all wonderful and it's great, but it all comes because of the Lord. And the greatest love story you'll ever find is in the Bible, John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Say it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest love story you will ever hear anywhere is John 3:16 right there. The greatest love story is the fact that God loved us. And let me just say, the Bible says, but for God so loved the world. In the beginning, what? God. It all starts with? It all begins with, it all wrapped up in, I'm going to tell you what, there are people in this world who say they're atheists, they say there's no God, but I'm here to tell you, God is alive, God is real, God is on his throne, God created everything that there is to be created, God rules this universe, nothing catches him off guard. Oh, wait a minute, let me do some Ron Talley. This is Ron Talley. I love Ron Talley. Me and him are good friends. That's why I make fun of him. And so, God began everything. God created you and put you on this earth. He has a plan for you. He loves you. He cares about you. It all starts with God. And let me just say that God is real. God is true. God is on his throne. God is running the world. God is still in charge. And the Bible says that someday, every human being will stand before God and give account of themselves before God. The reason why the atheists and the evolutionists, the reason why they have their philosophy is because they don't want to face the fact that they got to face God someday. They try to get rid of God, say, oh no, we don't want to have God. I don't want to answer to him. I don't want to have that, but I've got news for you. For God so loved the world. Let me just say, God loves the world. The Bible says God is love. And by the way, if you don't have God, you don't have love. You can't even begin to understand love until you have God. The lost people don't understand. They don't know. It's all lust with them. It's all crazy things with them. But when you have God, you have love because God is love, and you can really begin to understand what true love is. And without God, you can't have true love. The Bible says that God is love. Without him, you can't have love. And by the way, the Bible says that God so loved. Let me tell you how much God loved you this morning. You know, God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I love a lot of people. I really do. I've got a church membership. I love my people. I do. I love the students at Howells Anderson College. I love these men on the administration here. I love them. They're great men. I love your pastor, Brother Wilkerson, a great man. I love these people. But you know what? I don't know if I'd die for any of them. They say, We're going to shoot King unless you kill yourself. See you, brother. God bless you. See you in heaven, brother. God bless you. Now, the thing is that there are people I would die for, all right? There are people I'd die for. My wife. If somebody came, I would die for my wife. I would just step inside in front of her, take the bullet. I have children I love. My son Daniel is a student here this year. And there he is. I love my son Daniel, and I would die for that young man. I would. I'd step in front of the bullet. I'd take it. I'd die for my son. I love him. You know, there are people I would die for, but let me just say this. I don't know anybody in this world that I love so much that I would say, take my son and kill him and let them go free. Now, there are people that I would die for. I would step in front of the bullet. Yes, go ahead. I'd die. I'd give my life for them. But Brother Douglas, I don't know one person in this world that I love so much that I would take my son Daniel and say, here, kill him. I had a bus route on the south side of Chicago, 83rd and Burley. Gangland up there. I've been up there. I've walked the streets up there. I've seen the gang members fight. I've seen gang fights up there and shooting at each other and fighting and killing each other. I've seen the gangs fight. I've watched it with my own eyes. I've seen it happen. I've seen them leave a guy on the road and for dead. They don't know if he's alive or not. They don't care. Now I'm going to tell you what. Let me tell you how much God loves you this morning. God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. I cannot imagine going to south side of Chicago where the gangs are and seeing a gang fight and they're about to kill somebody, and I have my son with me and I walk over to these gang members, these drug addicts, these guys are druggies, these guys are thieves, they are mugs, they are wicked guys, unbelievable. I say, stop, wait a minute. Here's my son. Take my son, torture him, beat him, kill him, and let this gang member go free. And I'm going to tell you, there's nobody I would do that for. And yet we as sinners, against God, ungodly, wicked, vile, sinners, we didn't deserve anything but hell, but God said, I love you so much. I love you so much. Okay, Bill McSpadden, I love you so much. I know you're a sinner. I know you deserve to go to hell, but I love you so much. And here's my son. I'm going to take my son and I'm going to put him in the hands of these Roman soldiers, and they will spit upon him. They will pluck his beard. They will make a crown of thorns and put it upon his brow. They'll take a cat of nine tails and beat his back. They'll put a bag over his head and hit him in the face and say, if you're the Son of God, crucify, go ahead, you son of God, testify, tell us who it is, prophesy, tell us who hit you. They spat upon him, they beat him. The Bible says he was beaten beyond recognition as a man. I was the one that should have hung on that cross. Do you understand that? I'm the one that should have been there paying for my sin. I'm the one that should have died on that cross that day in Calvary. I'm the one that should have died. But God loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ, and Jesus took the beating that I should have had. He took the crown of thorns that I should have had. He took the spittle that I should have had. He took the beating that I should have had. He took the nails in his hands and his feet that I should have had. He hung on the cross that I should have hung on. And God loved me so much that he sent his son to die and said, let Bill McSpadden go free. My soul, what love. My soul, when you think of that, how can you do anything but serve him? How can you do anything? He loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Oh, my soul, for God so loved. Oh, the greatest love that any person's ever had in this world. The greatest experience love that you'll ever have is when you understand how much God loves you. When you understand how much he cares about you. I'm going to tell you what, God, the greatest love story that ever took place was God said, I love you so much, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to let him die for you. He's going to take your punishment and you get to go free. For God so loved. Oh, I remember I told you about my wife. I was dating her here. Brother Douglas, I don't know. They were telling these women something back then in the dorms. I don't know what it was. But it came to the point where I said, I love this woman. I want to marry her. So the day came, and I looked at her, and I said, Faith? And nobody can accuse me of not living by faith. I live by faith, brother. I walk by faith. I hold on to faith. I'm married, by the way. And I walk by faith. And I said, Faith, it's her name. I said, Faith, I love you. And she got all nervous and got up and walked away. What? What? That's not quite the reaction I had in mind. For several weeks. We would go on a date. I thought, well, she's upset with me. I asked her for a date. She did. After the date, I said, I love you. And she goes, oh, that's nice. Oh, my soul. We'd meet after chapel, and I'd say, I love you. And she goes, thank you. This is not going like I planned. For several weeks, I got, thank you. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. Did you hear what I said, woman? I love you. My parents came over here. They lived in Michigan City, Indiana. They came over here, and they took us to Six Flags up here on the north side of Chicago. Faith and I and all of us were Six Flags. It was kind of a rainy, drizzly day, terrible. A lot of the rides were closed down because it's too wet. And you know, we're all wet and her hair's all straight, you know. And you know how you women, here we are. I'm not talking about right now, folks, all right? Hair, all, and so we went in this little ice cream shop, and we're sitting at this table. I'm sitting on this side, she's sitting over there. My folks were sitting at another table right over there. And I'm just sitting there, okay, eat my ice cream. And I said, I love you. I figured I'm going to get, okay, thanks, that's nice. And here we go, you know, okay, I love you. And she goes, I love you too. I said, what? She said, I love you too. I said, say it again. I love you too. Hey, did you hear that? She said, hey, she loved me. Say that again. What'd you say? Buddy, when the day came that I found out that she loved me too, buddy, it overflowed in my heart. And I said, whoa, glory to God, she loves me. Oh, my soul, this is wonderful. It's exciting. But I'm going to tell you what's something even better than that. When you find out that God loves you and he loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you, buddy, that ought to get you excited about something there. Come, somebody say amen about that, my soul. God loves you today. He loved you so much, he sent his son to die on the cross for you. Bible says, for God so the world. Now, wait a minute. God so loved you that he gave. You can give without loving. But you cannot love without giving. Hello? Noah, come up here. Yeah, that's you. Your name, Noah? Come on up, Noah. Noah, you're a freshman?
Yes.
Is your first year? This is your first semester. And you're here, so you don't have a girlfriend yet.
No.
He's available. But let's just pretend he does have a girlfriend. Let's pretend he does have a girlfriend, okay? Everybody's pointing to somebody, but I don't know who it is, Noah. So anyway, Noah, if I said to Noah, Noah, do you love this girl? Yep. Have you ever talked to her? Nope. Noah, you love this girl? Yeah. You ever write her a note? Mm-mm. Noah, you love this girl? Yep. You ever take her on a date? Noah, you love this girl? Yep. You ever get her a gift? Mm-mm. Noah, you love this girl? Yep. You ever give her anything? Mm-mm. You know what? We would all conclude one thing. Noah really doesn't love her. Right? Sorry, Noah. You go sit down. Now, here's the thing. Thank you, Noah. All his buddies helping him out. You did good. Yeah. But people say, I love God, but let me ask you, what have you given him? I love God. What are you doing for him? Have you talked with him? Oh, I love God. Have you read the love note he gave you called the Bible? Oh, I love God. What have you given him? Have you given him your life? Well, I love God. Have you given him your heart? Oh, I love God. Have you given him your time? What have you given God? God loved you so much that he gave his only, did you hear me? Only begotten son. He gave you such a great gift. Look, when I think of the love of God and what he gave to me, how could I do any less than give him my whole life? Even that is not comparable to what he gave me. How can I do anything less than give him my heart and my mind and my desires and my goal, my life? How can I do anything less? He loved me so much that he gave me his only begotten son. If I love him, I'm going to give him my life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You can only get to heaven through Jesus Christ, and there's no other way. You're not going to get there by Buddha or Muhammad or Allah. You're not going to get to heaven by being good. You can get through Jesus Christ, and that's it. And by the way, God loved you so much, he sent his son, but he also sent his son for those people out on the bus route. He also sent his son for those Sunday school kids you have. He also sent his son for those people, and you ought to be taking the love of God to them and telling them the only way you can get there is through Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means anybody, who wants it can have it. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, God loves you, and you say, well, I'm nothing special. When I was young, I used to think sometimes, well, I understand why God would love the preacher, but why would he love me? I can understand why he would love the Sunday school teacher, but you know, me, I'm just you know, who am I? I'm not anything worthy of God's love. Well, I could understand that God would love that evangelist that came through, but why would he care about? I came to Bible college. I said, well, yeah, surely God would love Brother Hiles and Dr. Evans and these guys. Yeah, I can understand that. But me? But I found out that God loves me too. I'm a whosoever. You know what you are? You are a whosoever. What are you? What are you? That means God loves you because he loved you. You say, well, I'm nothing. That's okay. God loves you. You say, but I don't have anything. That's okay. God loves you. Yeah, but I don't know anything. God loves you. It doesn't matter. You are a whosoever. And whosoever, God said, for whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. All you have to do to go to heaven is believe in Jesus Christ, and that's it. It's not hard. It's not difficult. People say, well, easy believism. Oh, I hear this all the time, Brother Douglas. Well, yeah, how many people you have saved at your church? I said, we'll have this right there. Oh, yeah, easy believism. Yeah, it's easy to believe. Jesus died on the cross for me. He bore my sin. He was buried for 3 days. He rose again from the dead. He offered salvation. I received his gift. I'm on my way to heaven. That's easy. Well, it just can't be that easy. There's got to be more to it than that. You know, it just can't be that easy. It's got to be more to it than that. But let me tell you this. God loved you so much that he made it possible for every single human being to get to heaven. My God is a God who loves people so much that he made it so simple and so easy on our part that even a handicapped child can understand and believe. Amen. You think God would be so cruel? You know, there's some things a blind man can't do that a seeing man can do, but God made it so that a blind man can believe. There are things that a deaf man can't do that a hearing man can do, but God made it where a deaf man can believe. There are things that a little handicapped child cannot understand, but God made it to where every little handicapped child can believe and be in heaven. You think that God is less compassionate than we are? He loved us so much, he sent his son. Now, let me just say, if you're walking down the street and you see a house on fire and up in the second story window, somebody's out there, smoke's coming, they say, help, and there's a ladder out in the front yard. And you walk up and say, well, I'll tell you what, if you've been real good, we'll put that ladder up and let you out. Oh, I know. Oh, if you've been confirmed in the catechism, then we'll put that ladder up, let you out. Oh, I tell you what, you've been giving your tithes and offerings. Every pastor would do that one right there. If you've been giving your tithes and offerings, I'll put that up there and let you get out of that fire. No, any decent human being would put that ladder up and say, come on, get out. We make it as easy to get out of that fire as we could. Let me just say this. God knows there's an eternal hell where people with lost and on their way, people without Christ will spend eternity in that hell that burns with fire and brimstone. And God said, I don't want them to go to hell. I made it for the devil and his angels, not for mankind. I'm going to make it as easy as I can. All they have to do is believe on me. Yeah. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. For God, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You don't have to go to hell, but everlasting life. I interrupted you, didn't I? Isn't it a wonderful thing that God loved us so much he gave us eternal life? I read this story. I do not know if it's true or not. I don't even remember where I read it for sure, but it illustrates what I'm trying to tell you so much. Back in the 1800s in London, there were a lot of orphans. People would have children, parents would die. And in fact, Brother Douglas in my church right now is a little girl named Grace, and she's about 8 years old, 9 years old. She's an orphan. Her parents have both died. But she comes every Sunday, loves the Lord. But in the 1800s, many parents died because of disease. Some parents would have so many children they couldn't take care of them, and it was a common thing that they would take their children to London and drop them off on the street hoping that somebody would pick them up. And that's where you have Mueller taking in the orphans and taking in people. The story is told about a boy who had been dumped off in London. He's by himself. It was near Christmas time and the winter is cold. He's walking the streets, scrounging through the trash, trying to find something to eat. It was a cold winter night, Christmas Eve. He walked down the street and he heard people singing Christmas carols, and he said, yeah, nothing for me to sing. I have no reason to sing here. He walked down the street and he looked in the windows and people making meals and decorating the house for Christmas and families getting together, and he said, there'll be no Christmas for me tomorrow. He walked down the street and people carrying gifts and people carrying food, and he said, there'll be nothing for me tomorrow. I got to find a place to sleep. So he went to a little doorway in the store, pulled his jacket up like this, knelt down in that doorway and trying to go to sleep there. And while he was there, a stately gentleman walked up and said, young man, what are you doing there? And he got up. He said, I'm sorry, sir. I was just trying to sleep. I'll leave. He says, no. He said, why are you here? Do you not have a home? And the boy said, no, I don't. I don't have any parents. I don't have a home. He said, would you like to have a nice warm bed to sleep in tonight? And the little boy said, oh yes, but I have no place to go. He said, would you like to have a nice meal? And the boy said, yes, but I have no money. He said, would you like to have some Christmas presents tomorrow, some new clothes? He said, well, yes, but I have no money. He said, listen, young man, you go down the street here and you go find the street named John. You turn and you look up on the door and say 316. He said, you go knock on that door, and when they answer the door, you just say John 3:16. The little boy went and knocked on the door. Man opened the door and said, yes. The boy said, John 3:16. man smiled and said, come on in, buddy. He brought him in. He said, would you like some food? He said, oh, John 3:16. Sat down and he ate more food he'd ever seen before. Drank. And the man said, would you like to get a bath and get in bed and get some more? He said, John 3:16. Man took him. The boy got a bath, put some new clothes on him, tucked him into bed. And he said, son, this is your new home. This is where you're going to stay. Tomorrow, I have presents for you downstairs. The boy was laying there in the bed, and he couldn't sleep. He thought it was a dream. I don't want to sleep. I don't want to wake up and find this is gone. He's laying there with his eyes open, looking around. I said, I can't believe this. I can't believe what's going on. A little later, the man came in to check on him. He said, are you okay? The little boy sat up. He said, sir, I don't understand all about John 3:16, but I sure am thankful for it. And young people, I don't know why God would love me. I don't know why he would care about me so much. I don't know why he would care enough that he would send his son Jesus to die on the cross, and take my place, and deliver me from hell, and give me eternal life. And I don't understand everything about John 3:16, but I sure am thankful for it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God for the greatest love story, John 3:16.
I don't think that sermon needs much commentary at all. Come as God's Spirit leads you. If we can get a piano player. Six words that changed the course of history. For God so loved the world. Six words. I'd like to personalize it. For God so loved the world. And replace world with your name. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Micah. For God so loved Amanda. For God so loved Victoria. For God so loved Danny. For God so loved Joseph.